There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
You done fell right down that rabbit hole, so
reality is questionable.
Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on the show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder, mayhem, tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past, history that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you by yourself, these two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Hunt, and their dog Ninja.
And sometimes their cat Freddy, but never the ferrets.
Hi, this is Dave Schrader from the Ghosts of Devil's Perch on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus, and you're listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 354 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
I said shorts.
Oh, I was like looking at you like I was confused. Oh.
We had to do a redo.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Yes.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Even if you're in a country that doesn't do Mother's Day today, happy Mother's Day anyway.
Heck yeah, man.
It's Mother's Day every day.
Yeah. And to happy Mother's Days to the ones in heaven, like my mommy. I miss you so much, Mama.
What's my mom, chop liver? She's in heaven, too.
You cut me off. I was getting ready to say. Happy Mother's Day to your mommy as well. I never got the chance to meet her, unfortunately. But I still love her because she made you, so.
Oh.
And I just hope everybody had an enjoyable day with their families.
Yep, 100% agree. Tracy, we want to take this time to not only thank all of our mothers, but all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks to all of you guys, gals, and service animals for everything you do.
You got that right. You guys are wonderful. And I know the women that are serving, God bless you. I know it's hard to be away from your families at this time, especially. But we pray for you guys every single day, and we're just so proud of you and what you represent.
Tracy, I had an opportunity last night to do a podcast with an old, old comedy friend of ours, Lovis Brown. And one of the things we talked about on his episode was this is Mental Health Awareness Month. And we talked about just mental health and the stigma. And, you know, he's the same way we are. You know, he urges everyone to get help, whether it's from friends, family members, or, you know, the suicide hotline or the crisis help hotline, whatever it takes. Don't feel like that there's some kind of shame in asking for help, because there's definitely not. And that's the biggest problem I think we have with mental health in this country. And I think it's come a long ways in the last 5 or 6 years, but people just, you know, especially in the military, You know, there's still 22 suicides every single day.
Yeah.
In our military. PTSD is a real thing, whether you're in the military or whether you're not.
Right.
You know, if you've encountered some kind of a traumatic, you know, situation in your life, PTSD is real. And, you know, don't hesitate to reach out and get help. That's basically what I just wanted to say today.
Please, yes, you guys. We're always available. And our group is always available. Please, please, they are so wonderful. Reach out to some of those guys in there. And you can also do the crisis hotline at 988, or you can still text them at 741-741. So don't be scared to reach out, please. We're always here for you guys.
And Tracy, this is going to be a fun show.
Okay.
The episode is going to be a little bit different on the type of stories that we're going to do. It's a collaboration of some stuff. We've got Caleb from Tennessee on today. He's the gentleman that we met when we were in Pigeon Forge.
Oh, my goodness. Yes,
or
Caleb.
Actually, he was in Gatlinburg.
Yeah, Gatlinburg.
And he was our server at the restaurant we went to, one of the restaurants. And
very nice man.
Yeah, very nice, young. He's like 20 years old.
His mom's name's Tracy, so
But we were able to talk about some of the stuff he had going on. It's not the longest session that we've had with somebody. So to make up for that, guess what I added this week?
What?
I have put together a collaboration of all of the Tracy raps.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And I threw in the Tracy DC.
Jerry, it's Mother's Day. Why? You're going to have them all in the corner crying somewhere. This is awful. Let me tell you guys. So I came upstairs and I heard him playing one of them. And I thought to myself, that is horrid. That was the most horrid thing. And how I ever agreed to let him post that, I will never know. They are terrible. But if you want a good laugh, I guess you can get a good laugh. And it's okay.
So that's how we're going to end the show tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we've got the classics of...
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Of Tracy doing Eazy-E, Eminem, the Beastie Boys.
Oh. Every time a stupid song comes on and they say, kick it, Jerry busts a gut laughing every dang time. It's so embarrassing for my soul.
Not just me. Josh does it too.
I know. It's so bad, y'all. I'm so sorry I put you through that. Seriously.
And we've got...
We must have been really desperate for something.
We've got the Tracy doing Dirty Deeds and Dirt Cheap. We ended it with that one. The one that I couldn't find... Oh, I forgot. I almost forgot. Gangster Paradise. That's in there. I wished I could... The only one I couldn't find was you doing Rihanna. Bitch Better Have My Money. That was the very first one we did, and I don't know where it's at.
Good, because, I mean, I don't even remember doing that.
So, if some of you know which episode that's in, and will send me an
I'm sure email. They erased that whole episode from that occasion. So, you blocked it from your brain, and I don't blame you.
Good All grief. Right.
Sorry, y'all, I have to end your Sunday like that. That's terrible.
So, Tracy, we're going to do some Old West ghost stories. Like the Wild West.
Oh, like the Wild West. Is it because we saw that movie yesterday and I said that movie freaked me out?
No, oh, Westworld.
Westworld.
No, this was already written before that.
Oh, that daggone movie scared the crap out of me. Just the thought of all them things coming to real life and just like killing you and stuff.
That movie's horrible.
Oh.
Sometimes I run across stories that follow a little different format than what we usually do. Like last week's story on Hollybrook Hall, that was basically... A story that most people don't know about. Mm-hmm. It's not in the realms of
like
the haunted places. It was the woman who was telling her personal stories. Well, I actually have a few shorter stories like that this week where there's not a whole lot of history in all of them, but it's more, you know, story.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that we would do these stories from the Wild West. And the first one, this first story takes place in Tombstone, Arizona. But it's one of the lesser known ghost stories from the area. I'll be willing to bet that most people, even in the area, probably don't know this one.
No kidding.
Right.
Dang, they don't get out much or what?
Well, thousands of tourists flock to Big Nose Kate's Saloon and the Birdcage Theater every year.
I cannot handle Big Nose Kate. That makes me laugh every time I hear it.
But the haunted house on Skyline Drive gets very little attention. and I'm sure the current owners are completely fine with this. So I don't think that they are eager to add their name onto the list of haunted locations in Tombstone, so they're probably fine with this. So you can imagine the owner, at least at the time, I don't know if she's the current owner or not, Angel Bryant. She gets a little protective when she talks about the house up on Skyline Hill.
Okay.
She says that most of us can only imagine what it's like to live in a house so actively haunted by spirits of the dead. Never mind putting up with widespread attention that it would bring on. Therefore, she will talk about her house, but only give the street that she lives on.
I'm
sure it wouldn't be too hard in today's age to find out, since we have her name.
No, not at all.
Where she lives. We have the street and her name. In the internet age, I'm pretty sure we could find out.
She didn't think that out, did she?
Right, probably not. According to Angel, back in the 1800s, there was an assayer. I might be saying that wrong. But he lived in that house. Now, from my understanding, an assayer is an analyst that performs chemical tests on metals. And his job back then was miners would actually bring him their ore that they dug up in exchange for pay. So I guess he would be the one to take in the gold or the silver or whatever it was. And it, you know, and then he would pay them and then I guess do whatever it was. I guess he was the one to be able to verify that it was real by whatever chemical tests he did on it.
Oh, that's how we did it at the dental office. So we would collect all the people's crowns that we took off or whatever, or even the inlays or whatever. And we put them in this little box, and this guy would come back once a month, and he would weigh it for the metal in it, and then he would pay us for it.
Interesting.
Isn't it, though? One time we got like $300 off little specks of stuff. I was so excited. Well, wait, I'm sorry. I just made me think of that. Go ahead.
Everything comes back to the dental field or Andy Griffith.
You know, I ain't much on Andy Griffith no more. I just kind of quit watching him for some reason.
Yeah, luckily there's the Kardashians. Well, there's very little information about this man that we know about. What we do know is he lived in that house with his wife and his daughter. He also supervised a few of the mining operations around town. Angel hasn't found any written proof of his name or his background, but some of what she does know has come from psychic investigations. She said that she keeps getting an impression of the name Cliverson, Cliverson. She's pretty sure that that's his last name. Now, the story goes that sometime in the 1880s, Mr. Cliverson fired a man by the name of John Hicks. He worked in one of the mines. Now, Angel isn't sure why he was fired, but it was clear that he wasn't very happy about being fired.
Well, who is?
Right. Well, if you're trying to collect unemployment, I know some people that were happy about being fired.
Oh. Well, that's the wrong thing to do.
Right, but a few days later.
Even though I got fired and I collected unemployment, that's not the point. Go ahead.
A few days later, a drunken John Hicks came to Cliverson's door. He was looking for money that he felt was owed to him. Well, Cliverson wasn't home, but his wife and 8-year-old daughter were. Cliverson's wife opened the door a little bit. She said that Mr. Cliverson wasn't home, but Hicks kicked the door open.
Rude.
Yes. He starts ranting and raving about the money that was owed to him. Well, Miss Cliverson was terrified, and she tried telling the drunken Mr. Hicks that her husband wasn't home. In fact, he was out working in one of the mines. Well, Hicks couldn't have cared less what she had to say. He flew into a rage, and he attacked Miss Cliverson, stabbing her to death.
Oh, shut up.
Hicks turned to see the 8-year-old daughter, terrified, staring at her dead mother.
Oh, my gosh.
He then turned the knife on the little girl.
What a jerk.
Killing her and then fleeing the scene of the crime.
Aw.
The strange happenings in the house seem to stem from this happening over 140 years ago now. Angel says that she felt the vibration of the little girl. She's felt her presence while sitting on the front porch. She could feel the fear that the little girl experienced, and she experienced the feeling of being stabbed. That's what the owner
said. Oh my gosh. And really all she probably wanted to do was just give her a big old hug and tell her how sorry she was.
Probably.
That's a horrible thing to do.
Another, even more dramatic phenomenon happens on the front deck of this house. You see, it sometimes rains little rock fragments known as slag. Slag is like when you have rocks and gold and stuff and you kind of rinse it with water and you just try to get the what's out and get all the mud and stuff off of it.
Uh-huh.
And then what's left is the little rocks and stuff.
Okay.
That's called slag.
I did not know that.
Well.
I've been doing slag and when I go to Gatlinburg, didn't know it. I was like slagging the stuff.
I don't think it's called slagging. That's just a, and you're thinking of slacking, which is what you do at the house. So these little rock fragments actually come off of the overhang of the house and they shower all over the patio floor.
Oh, gosh.
It's like raining rocks, basically. Little pebbles and stuff. They form, it forms on the walls and on the steps, like hell, for example. Like if hell was to be falling. Angel believes that the little girl is actually responsible for this bizarre occurrence. She thinks that this is the little girl's attempt to keep strange men away from the house. She thinks this because one time when this happened, it rained the slag stuff all the way around her, but none of it touched her.
But what was the reason for that? Was there a creepy man coming about?
Well, there is, but I think at that time that's what it was too. But she said during this time, when this was happening, even though she wasn't hit by any of those rocks, she felt the stabbing pains again.
Oh, geez.
And the impression of the little girl's fear. And the falling slag, as she calls it, only happens when strange men are around. Why the front porch? Good question. Thanks for asking. Well, Angel thinks that this probably used to happen inside the house because the previous owner turned what was the living room then into what is now the front porch.
Oh, I was going to say, why? That would be annoying if it did it inside the house. Well,
exactly. And she thinks that may be what motivated the owner to make those renovations. She said it would have been really hard to constantly have to clean up a mess of rocks and stuff from your living room. So they just made that outside.
Why can't she just put a sign on the door that says no weird guys around or allowed?
She thought also that maybe the previous owner felt like the spirit would leave if that room was gone.
Yeah, I would probably think that.
Didn't happen.
Oh.
And I think, and the reason for this, obviously, that was the room that the mom and the little girl was killed in.
So she's, I mean, I don't know what the story is about going forward, but does that mean, did the mom never show up in all this? It was just always the little girl?
It was always the little girl. And oddly enough, we're getting ready to end it, so there ain't much going forward on this story. But anyway, so that's what they think, that's why they think she's responsible. Angel says that the falling rocks continue to happen to this day anytime a new male visits the house.
That is pretty wild. Did they catch the guy?
I don't have any information on it. Like,
what
I said,
a douche. What a dick. Yeah, I said it. You're a dick. How dare you do that? They didn't have nothing to do with that. Nothing.
No.
Here he is over in a mine doing his thing, and he comes home, and then he finds that just because.
He was minding his own business.
Well, that just freaking, I want to punch him in his nads.
Now, I will say this about that story. She did say some of what she knows came from mediums and psychics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of that story is true. I don't know how much of it is fact. I don't know how much of it came from psychics. I don't know how much of it's hearsay.
So you go and tell the story and make me angry with the whole entire tude wanting to punch him in his nuts. And you go, well, I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it could be all of it was true except for the names.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's so just so, I just, but what I just, a terrible
I'm saying,
story.
I don't know what parts she got from psychics and which part are fact.
Wow. That's so interesting, though.
The next story is unique. It's Well, we know how legends come about. And with this case, that's what it is. It may be just a legend, but it depends on who you ask. It's the story of the Snake People.
Well, that sounds awful.
The Snake People were a lost tribe of Native Americans in the Rocky Mountains. Now, it's important to note that the Snake People do not appear on any anthropologist's list of Native American tribes.
So it's not like they look like snakes. That's not what you're trying to say, is it?
No. But we'll get into the story. can I get past the first three sentences before you start trying to figure out the end? So they're not on any anthropologist list of Native American tribes. There's nothing or any studies that suggest that they ever really existed. There have never been any archaeological remains or artifacts ever dug up to show that they exist.
Hmm.
So from knowing that, it's just a legend, right?
Of course.
Well, Native Americans feel different, and the story of the Snake People have been around for hundreds of years.
I mean, wouldn't you think they would know if it's true or not?
You would think. So, there you go. But like Bigfoot, there's no proof, physical proof, so they're not listed. As we get into the story, you're going to see more and more why people may doubt the story. Now, according to legend, the tribe thrived in the upper reaches of the American Rocky Mountains. They were living in alpine meadows and deep tunnels within the mountain peaks.
Mm-hmm.
They were not to be mistaken for the Shoshones, the Snake, or the Nation. Those were different.
Mm-hmm.
They occupied much of the land around the Rockies. This group of mountain dwellers never waged war against neighboring tribes or traded a single item with white settlers. In fact, the Snake People were only seen at nighttime. Even then, they terrified eyewitnesses who only saw shadows and the gleam in their eyes as they darted through the darkness.
Well, that's kind of creepy.
The people of the Snake, as they were also called, were thought to be not only mysterious, but evil. Supposedly, they lived in small groups dotted across the mountains. Each one of these groups took care of one enormous viper, and they worshipped it like a god.
Wow, lucky viper.
They lived for the sole purpose of finding suitable sacrifices for this gigantic snake that they tended to.
How crazy.
The group of Native Americans visited only when they needed a living person to sacrifice. For their, you know.
So he invited the neighbor over. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, oh no. No, they didn't invite anybody over.
Oh.
They went and got what they wanted.
Oh, and they just fed it to the snake? I wonder if that's like the snake ate them whole.
I love where your mind goes.
Well, I'm just kind of picturing in my brain how this snake is like. He's like, man, this ain't a bad gig. I don't have to do nothing.
The tribes situated around the Rockies had the most trouble with the Snake People because they regularly would sneak into their camps, their settlements, and they would make off with a few of their young or a few of their old.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Fights would inevitably break out on their visits, but unfortunately, the only casualties left when it was all said and done were the tribe that was being visited. Those who did fight and lived to tell about it, talked about how they were nearly invisible and were as quick as snakes. This is the actual Native Americans themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, uh-huh.
But their encounters were nothing compared to when the Snake People came down with their vipers following behind them.
How many vipers they have? I thought they just had one big viper.
Yeah, but you have different groups of people each with a viper.
So you can be plural. Oh, so you mean saying, they like walked him like a dog?
Yeah, I don't think they walked him like a dog. I think the snake probably slithered like they typically do.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have like a little, you know, snake collar on that said, you know, vipey or something.
Well, I mean, true.
You know, if lost, send smoke signal to. Anyways. On these nights, when the snakes would follow, the snakes themselves would attack the settlements, killing all of the livestock with their deadly venom. How about that?
Well, Yeah, but weren't they afraid that the snake would turn on them and eat them?
No, they were not, because they worshipped it. Are people afraid that God's going to turn and attack them? No, they feel like if they're doing the right things.
Well, I mean, the snakes don't know what worship means.
Apparently they do at this point. Anyway, when they make these attacks, it came in complete silence. And the tribe would only find out the very next morning that these attacks had happened.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, they'd just come in. The snakes would just come in. The snakes, when they came and attacked, they didn't kill the people. They would only attack livestock, the snakes.
Oh.
And remember that.
I thought you meant people. I thought you meant they were eating people.
No, not right here.
Oh,
well,
okay.
They would, but the snake people would come down and snag people.
Okay, because I thought.
And take them back and sacrifice them to the snake.
Oh.
But when the snakes came to town, the snakes only went after the livestock.
Well, I was thinking they had pretty big balls, or how stupid was these people? He come in their tent and took one and they didn't know it.
Ones who saw these attacks were not really eager to fight off the things, because legend has it that the snakes were taking down horses and stuff.
Wow.
And like I said, they would rarely attack humans, but they could see the eyes before they would attack.
That's really scary.
Then the white settlers came to town, and several of these tribes in the Rockies were either killed off, unfortunately, or unfortunately, they were put on reservations. So it would appear that the snake people went undetected because they weren't put on any reservations or anything. But then strange stories started to come from the white settlements. Horrifying stories about large serpents and shadows. And all of these things were happening at night. Ranchers and miners would soon talk about how they were losing babies and their elderly during the night. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Then livestock would be basically found dead, but they would have two puncture wounds with enough venom to kill an elephant, according to stories. Now, over the years, the snake people came out less and less, and they seemed to retreat up farther and farther to the mountains. But was that it? Well, not quite. You see, in the summer of 1982...
What?
A young man who was Native American, he said he spotted an enormous snake in the area. He was driving to his sister's home in the Central Rockies, and he said he saw it a few miles from his sister's home. He got out of his car to open up a gate. There was a horrible odor in the air. Now, he recognized this to be the smell of a pit viper. I didn't realize they gave off a smell, but apparently they do.
Wow, no kidding.
And he recognized it, and I guess, you know, living in the area, you would probably know that.
Mm-hmm.
Just after he got back in the car, the snake appeared.
Oh, my gosh.
And get this.
Don't tell me he ate the whole truck.
It was dark, but he said that he could see two yellow eyes, and they were 3 feet apart.
Oh,
think about that.
That's like half my body.
I mean, 3 feet would be, that means the head would be
huge.
Huge.
Oh my gosh, how scary. I thought you was going to say like you saw him in the daytime.
No, it was nighttime.
Oh my
Remember,
gosh.
Remember, they only come out at night.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
The snakes come out at night. He was terrified.
I guess so.
But he stared it down and he said it turned and slithered away.
He stared it down and looked in the eyes. He said, boy, don't you be messing with me.
He drove to his sister's ranch as soon as possible. He told his sister about the experience that he had, and he was surprised to find out that his sister and his brother-in-law had been losing cattle for quite some time. His sister told him about the snake people. She said she had seen them, or at least silhouettes of them, on the porch at nighttime at her place.
Shoo, golly, no way. I'd be moving the heck out of there.
So,
that
Tracy,
is so scary.
Do you think the snake people actually existed at one time? Was there a Native American tribe known as the snake people that worshipped snakes? Or was this just a legend of Native Americans?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think Native Americans would lie about such a thing.
You don't have to lie about something for it to be a legend.
Well, that's very true, but oh my gosh, I don't know. I hope it's not true, because that is like so scary.
See, that story's different than the ones we normally tell.
Yeah.
All right, this is the last story. This is a very depressing story.
Oh, well,
we and this one's a little more along the lines of what we would normally do. This is the ghost of Eily Bower. Allison Eily Oran was one of the richest women in the West at one time, but oh, what ups and downs her life took.
Hmm.
She was Scottish born. And she moved to America at the age of 15 with her husband, Stephen Hunter. He was a devout Mormon. This was 1841. Eily, as she was better known, she left her husband soon after arriving. And this was at a time when divorce was not something that really happened.
Right.
You know, back in that time. Women didn't get a chance to just say, I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But she did. She remarried to another Mormon by the name of Alexander Cowan. And this was 1853. So this was, you know, 12 years later. They moved to what is now Nevada. The two became Mormon missionaries. They moved to the Washoe Valley in western Nevada. This was her second husband, obviously. And he was called back to the Mormon order. And she decided that she wouldn't go back with him.
Oh, I was going to say she's a lot older now. Maybe she's more mature.
But... yeah, so, and I mean, I'm sure the Mormon order was probably in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, nah, I'm just going to stay here. So she moved to a small mining camp called Johnstown. She set up a boarding house there. And this was a time to where the mining town was really just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
The miners there were staying in a really rough camping conditions. Yeah. They were just in tents.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to get this boarding house. And I'm going to make some money off of this. And she did very well for herself because right after she got the boarding house, gold was discovered there.
Oh, my goodness.
So people flocked to the town and they needed places to stay.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though, that she gave them a nice place to stay.
But she didn't want to just make money off of the miners. She wanted to get in on some of this action herself. She went and got her own mine claim.
Oh.
Her claim bordered on another claim that was owned by Lemuel Sandy Bowers. He was also Scottish, and he was an attractive young man, apparently.
Uh-oh.
The two hit it off, and they got married. So now this is husband number three. Both of their claims started churning out gold left and right, and they became Nevada's very first two millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
But with great wealth comes the chance for even greater potential for tragedy. The couple had two children. Unfortunately, both died as infants.
Oh, my goodness.
They decided to leave, go to Europe for a while, and while they were gone, they were having a mansion built. They went over to, like I said, Europe for 10 months. And when they arrived back to their newly built mansion, they came back with a little girl that they had adopted from Scotland.
Oh, nice. That's
not good. Much is known about the little girl or how the adoption happened. They just know that she showed up as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She could have stole her for all they know.
Oh, no.
Once back at their newly built mansion, they find out that their minds have basically dried up. They start having these outstanding debts starting to come forward because they've spent all their money on this mansion and all this thinking, hey, we're just going to have all this gold forever. Didn't happen. Now, I don't know how in the 1880s you go through millionaires, if you're
good
both
Lord,
millionaires, how you go through
either.
That so quick. But if they might only had $1 million and that was for both of them because they were married, they were the first two millionaires. I don't know.
Right.
I initially took it as both of them were millionaires, but maybe that wasn't the case. Still.
That's a lot of money.
Still, but they spent 10 months traveling over to Europe.
Yeah.
I imagine that was an expensive trip. They had this house built.
Well, how much? They didn't have to buy gas. They had a horse and buggy.
This is true.
They didn't have to pay gas money.
You can't take a horse and buggy across the ocean.
Oh, that's true.
So these outstanding debts started to pile up. Their savings and their income rapidly deteriorated. Sandy, unfortunately, wouldn't have to deal with poverty very long. His lungs were filled with rock dust from the mines, and he died in 1968 of silicosis.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say, why didn't they just sell the mansion?
Eily was now a single mother
Aww.
In a world that was very hostile towards independent women. She turned the mansion into a boarding house to try to make ends meet. Then tragedy struck again in 1874 when her daughter died of a burst appendix.
Wait, you said 1982 while ago.
1874. 1982 was the story of the guy that saw the snake. Stick with me. You're in the wrong story.
No, I thought you just said it again.
If I did, I was wrong. He died in 1868 of silicosis. And this is in 1874, just 6 years later, her daughter dies of a burst appendix.
Oh, she died of a burst appendix?
Yes. So in 1876, she lost her mansion to public auction.
Boy, she has just had bad luck.
She spent the rest of her life dabbling in the spirit world, telling other people their fortunes from a crystal ball. She died in October of 1903 in a poorhouse in Oakland, California.
Oh, my goodness.
But this wouldn't be the last that this world had heard from Ollie Bowers. You see, strange things started happening at the Bowers mansion shortly after her death. Reports of mysterious sounds coming from deserted hallways and rooms. People described this as a shuffling sound. Objects were being moved about. Closets emptied themselves. And the same with nightstands and dressers. There was never an intruder found, just an empty, rearranged room.
Now see, if they had just went for a simple house, maybe a little fancy, but not a whole entire mansion, life might have been a whole lot different.
Probably
isn't that crazy?
So.
You know? I mean, he probably still would have passed away from that
thing. Yeah, that
would
have happened anyway.
That's really sad.
Other people claim to see a stately woman dressed in Victorian clothes standing before one of the mansion windows. She's just looking out over the estate. She apparently was described as a broad woman with short, dark hair and hard features. She didn't sound very attractive.
Like manly?
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like, mm-hmm. You know. The description, though, matches the previous owner,
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm.
These sightings have increased dramatically since the Bowers Mansion was opened up for tours, and many believe that Ollie is basically returning for her crystal ball, which is on display in the mansion
today. That's cool.
Others think that her spirit is riding the few days of happiness that she actually had in the mansion with her husband and daughter before everything fell apart.
That is a sad story.
It is.
It's just so weird how your life can just change so drastically to being, you know, the wealthiest woman and having everything to having nothing, just like that.
Yeah, incredible.
Very sad.
So, anyways, that's our story or stories of the Wild West. What do you think about those?
I did like them. I did.
So, a little bit different.
And crazy about that snake, but other than that, it was all good.
All right. So, let's take a quick sponsor break, and then we will be back to listen to our Tennessee guests, and then Tracy.
Y'all turn
raps.
Off the turn it off.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
All right, Tracy. So this weekend coming up, this is 6 days from now. We have, I think, 7 or 8 tickets left for
that's all we have left?
For the haunted jail up in Lebanon. I keep saying haunted jail. I want to make sure that they get the proper due diligence on what they're providing to us, because they're giving us this awesome place to do it. It is the Boone County Jail Distillery. Jackie hooked us up with that, and they are so excited about us coming. And she told us, she told me the other day that they're going to, obviously, we said we was pretty sure, but not completely sure. The way this is going to be set up, the show will be over about 9, mm-hmm. and we're going to be there till 10 or 10:30. And they've agreed to, they're going to have 3 or 4 people who work there that are going to be kind of scattered and answering questions and giving people tours of the place and the distillery and all that stuff. So it's going to be really cool. And she was telling us, we haven't really talked a lot about the actual haunting there, but she was going to stand up before the three podcasts do their bit, and she's going to actually talk about the things that she's been able to experience there.
Oh, fun. I can't wait to hear that.
Yeah.
Golly.
So it's going to be a blast.
A blast. So. Sounds good.
All right. So that's happening. If you want to come, it's about 30 minutes north of Indianapolis. So there are still some tickets left. But like I said, we're going to have Tragedy of Cinema is going to be there. We're going to have Tiffany Boots mm-hmm. is going to be there doing the MCing for us from Hillbilly Horror House. And we've got Todd and Nate and Sean from Middle Aged and Creeped Out. We're going to have Tim Coomer is going to be hanging out. He's runs a paranormal investigative group out of Indianapolis. He's going to come hang out with us for a while. We got to hang out with him in Waverly mm-hmm. a little bit. And Justin Rimmel from Mysterious Circumstances is going to come hang out with us.
All right, man. That's a party group right there. Yeah.
And remember, we've got the little sign where you can hold it up. It's got like the prison number on it, but it's got our logo. And then there's logos with the other shows too, that when you put on your orange or your striped jumpsuit and get your picture made, you can hold it up. It'd be a good little souvenir thing.
Cool.
And then coming up rapidly, July, Buffalo with Brohio and Justin Rimmel from Mysterious Circumstances. We're going to have Tyler Allen from Minds of Madness is going to be there to MC that show.
I'm excited about that.
And actually, I say he's going to MC the show, but he's going to be a special guest that he's going to be doing a little bit. But our buddy Nick from up there is actually going to be MCing the show.
Awesome.
Because when he was the first person I thought of when we put Buffalo on the map, because mm-hmm. he lives right there in the area. Mm-hmm. And I promised him from the very beginning that if we did that show and got it put together, that I was going to let him MC it. So
great.
We're excited. Then Detroit right after that. That's going to be our 7th birthday show. And it's on the outskirts of Detroit, Rock City, like Kid Rock would say. Mm-hmm. So it's not right in the heart of Detroit. So it is going a little bit on the outskirts, but it's supposed to be like on a lake. It's supposed to be beautiful where this place is. It's a VFW post, but it's like Sarah actually helped us set that up. Mm-hmm. Sarah's coming to visit us on Thursday mm-hmm. of this week. So it's going to be a busy week.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing her.
But we got all that going on. The cruise information, hillbillyhorrorstories.com. The cruise is there. And it's going like gangbusters from my understanding. So everybody's just kind of getting their rooms and getting going, and everybody's excited about going to from Galveston to Mexico.
Yes, sir.
All right, Tracy, let's go ahead and do the iTunes and stuff real quick, and then we're going to come back with Caleb.
All right. This week, I'm like sitting all the way back here. Did you see that? Oh, sorry. I'm sitting up to the mic now. Sorry, you guys. The first iTunes are Annoyed to the Bone. I love it. I love it. Fiddler 4. Greg 4521, TT, which they used to call me that back in the day, Kay Cummings, and Cat Girl Mary Chapman, which is only one letter off from my maiden name, which is Chipman. Hey, sister. And Emmanuel Jimenez.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. And I wanted to say that right because I knew I messed it up. Also want to thank you for your service. And good old Mojo Lobster never lets us down every week. We love you guys so much. Thank you for your awesome reviews. They were really, really great. It meant the world to us. I think are we going to address one?
I do want to address one of them, but I want to go ahead and do the Patreon first. Okay. Because I think there's one.
Greg Adler.
I think it's...
Oh, wait. Greg Alder.
Alder.
Yes, I'm so sorry, Greg.
I think it's Greg who lives in Australia, so...
Oh, good day, mate.
Yeah. Had to get that in there.
Thank you, honey, for your support. We appreciate y'all so much. And
Tracy, can you go ahead and pull up that iTunes review, because I want to make sure.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so we had a review, and it was a nice review. It was a 5-star review, but they had a complaint, and that was Greg. And I think Greg may have misunderstood, and I want to make sure that if anybody's reading these reviews, that they understand that I think something may have been taken out of context. So let's go ahead and read the review, Tracy, okay. And then I'm going to play the clip so you can see what was actually said.
Okay. Wade, he said, love the show, gave us 5 stars. Thank you, love. We appreciate that. It says, one thing I have to add, I'm listening to the April 1st HHS episode, and you mentioned that the right-wing extremists is the white supremacy party, and history and political actions by the left has proven that the left is actually the party of hated. Please don't spread false information. Thank you.
Okay. In fairness, I'm going to play the clip. That's not what we really said. We were reading. We didn't give any opinions. We don't talk about politics on the show. We don't give our opinions when it comes to politics on the show. What we were doing was reading. We were doing the research for this article on the Jameson family. And well, let me go ahead and play the clip so you'll hear that rather than my explanation first. Now, Cheryl Lynn's mother, she claimed to have seen the Jamesons on the hit list of a white supremacist group known as the United White Knights.
Oh my gosh.
So the mountains where they disappeared at were known as a hotbed for far-right extremists, we'll say. And near where the Jameson's truck was found, there's a wrecked car that had been covered in racist slogans. Cheryl Lynn had supposedly written over top of them with religious messages of peace and love. Okay, so that segment was actually her mom, the one woman's mom.
Mm-hmm.
It says she said that they had gotten some threats from a white nationalist group. And that's where the name of that came from. And the whole, that part of the country having right-wing conspiracists came from the story. That wasn't something we were, you know, saying or spreading or giving an opinion. That's what's in the story. And mm-hmm. I read several articles on the same story before I ever write this out. And I don't put anything in unless it's mentioned several different times. And that's kind of a key part of the story, you know, to know that there was graffiti written on their cars and all this stuff. And this woman seems to know exactly the group that it came from. So for us saying, you know, we didn't say that white supremacists were part of right wing. We didn't say any of that. We just said this is what her mom said had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is what was in the articles. We're just reporting on what's in the articles. That was not.
Yeah.
So if it's something that you feel like is false information, completely fine and every right to be able to do that, but we weren't spreading any kind of false information. We were reading directly what came from the news articles.
Yeah.
So,
but thank you for letting us know that.
But I wanted to make sure that you knew that we weren't trying to spread anything other than what was written word for word in there.
Right.
You know, if you know, we read a story that said that Columbus discovered America. I don't necessarily believe that based on newer evidence that's come out over the years, but if that's what it said in the story, that's what it said in the story.
So. But we do appreciate your review, though.
Absolutely. And this is no way meant to embarrass you or anything.
No,
I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that we weren't trying to, you know, spread anything, whether it be right wing, left wing, any of that.
You know? We definitely want to, you know, want your all's opinions on things. Definitely that, you know, that's, we want to hear those things.
Yes.
But, you know, we also want to clarify if, you know, things were just probably just not
trust me, I've said my share of wrong stuff on the show.
And I will correct it in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah, definitely. Know. But no, again, thank you again for that. We appreciate it.
All right, let's listen to Caleb.
All right. Come on, Caleb.
Hey, guys, I'm with Caleb from Tennessee, and Caleb is somebody that Tracy and I actually met on our last trip to Gatlinburg, and we struck up a little bit of a conversation. Of course, we hand out our cards to almost everybody we meet, and Caleb, after getting the card, said, hey, you know, I've got some stories, and we talked about some of them, and I thought they were kind of fascinating. Caleb, you're a younger guy. What did you tell me? You're like, what, 20 years old?
Yes, sir. I'll be 21 May 18th.
Okay, so I've got a birthday coming up in a week or so.
I do, yes, sir.
Now, Caleb, you were telling me stories, and I'm not going to spoil the stories by telling them because that's what I got you on here for. But you obviously are somewhat sensitive. You pick up on some stuff. Tell me some of the stories that that you were telling Tracy and about in Tennessee last week.
Well, yeah. So I've been all around South Carolina, around like the Charleston area and stuff like that. And there's a lot of paranormal energy in that area as well, just because of all the stuff that's happened in the past. I went to Francis Marion Hotel in Charleston one time, and there's 14 floors, but there's technically 13 floors. They don't have a 13th floor because, you know, the thing with the 13th floor is unlucky. So we went up to the 14th floor, and it's all wood paneling everywhere. So you can hear everything in that hallway. Everything echoes. And we come up and we're going back down the hallway. It was me and some of my buddies from Charleston. And all of a sudden I feel like a tug on the side of my shirt. And without even looking down, I can see that it's like a little boy. He has brown hair, blue eyes, and he's just looking up at me. I visualized it. I couldn't see it in person, but I visualized it inside my head.
Right.
So that was a pretty cool situation. One of the other ones I told Tracy about is the Vermont experience. We were driving up to Vermont from South Carolina. So we went through like 11, 12, 13 states, and we get to Boston and we're walking through the cemetery in the middle of Boston. And I don't know what happened. I think I accidentally stepped on a grave or something of that sort, and everything was fine. Went home or went back to the hotel, woke up the next morning, and I just had these terrible thoughts. Like, they were almost intrusive thoughts, but they weren't thoughts that I've ever had before. Right. Like, for instance, one of them was I wanted to take a gun from the chest or drawers next to me that one of my family members bought and shoot myself in the head. And I've never had any suicidal thoughts or anything like that. So it was just very overwhelming for me at the time. And actually we were planning on going to Salem right after we woke up. So we were on our way to Salem. And as soon as we get to Salem, I step out of the car and everything's fine. Just like that.
That's amazing. And so it just disappeared instantly.
I think it was something of a paranormal Uber is what I would consider it as. I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of.
You know, we've got a friend of ours that that actually is coming to visit next week on your birthday, mm-hmm. matter of fact. And She lives in Michigan. She drove down to Savannah and she visits the cemeteries and stuff. And she brought back some type of an entity with her, and she turned right around and got back in the car from Michigan and drove all the way back to Savannah just to kind of put it back where it belongs. So yeah, wow. It's amazing when you talk about a paranormal Uber. That's kind of the first thing that went to my mind.
It's crazy how they can just attach themselves to you and then just detach whenever they feel pleased.
What kind of things did you mention something to do with your girlfriend too? Something that between something that the two of you both had something in common with a spirit or something? I'm trying to remember.
No, I don't think I mentioned anything like that of the sort.
I think you had brought up your girlfriend about just other personal stuff, but I'm probably just getting it all jumbled together. You know, quick conversations go.
Right. Everything just starts jumbling together. Yeah.
So what's the craziest thing you've had? Are those two, are they right up there? Have you had anything really that you say is over and above that, that just really stands out to you that's happened?
I would say the Vermont thing is definitely at the top of my list.
I could see there probably wouldn't be a whole lot to contact sure. that.
I mean, well, and it's the thing where I've never had any thoughts like that. And all of a sudden I wake up one day and they're just flooding my mind.
Right. I think, you know, I someone who's dealt with depression, I have had situations where I could be completely happy. And I've told this story often. You know, it was one of my kids' birthdays, and I had to run up to grab something for from a store because we were short on paper plates or something. And I was in a good mood. I mean, I remember cranking, had the music cranked up, and I got in the driveway or the parking lot of the store, and it just something just entered my head saying, you know, you could just end all this now and just be done. And I'm like, it was the most odd time to have a suicidal thought.
Right.
Considering, you know, everything that was going on in my mood and everything. So yeah, it when you talk about things like it, it's just amazing how something like that can pop in your head, or more apt, what causes something like that to pop in your head? Is it an entity? Is it a spirit? Is it, you know, who knows?
And it would be different, like I said, if I've had thoughts like that before. But in my whole 20 years, well, I remember probably 18 years of it. Right. I've never had any situation like that before. So
did you live in the Savannah area, or is that someplace you just would go to on occasion?
Oh, Charleston?
Oh, I said Savannah because I'm back on my story where I said Savannah. Yeah, Charleston.
They're both gorgeous places. So
yeah, and they're only a couple hours apart from each other. So I was telling my dad, my dad's in St. Augustine right now. I told him they're going to drive back. They flew up there, but he didn't like the flight, so they're going to drive back. I said, you need to go through Savannah and Charleston because he can go to both of those on the way back without it even being out of the way.
That's a need to go place for sure when you're on vacation. It's absolutely beautiful. I want to move to that area at some point. But yeah, I'm actually from Charlotte. I'm around Charlotte. I'm from around Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
North Carolina. So about 2.5 hours from Charleston.
But what did you pick up on as far as when you're in Charleston, and the same for Savannah, I can guarantee, but when you're in Charleston, do you just pick up on a whole different vibe of energy in that area?
100%, especially by the slave trading posts. There's a lot of negative and malevolent energies there for sure. I mean, I can see why. I feel like there would have to be because of all the trauma and everything that happened there.
Yeah, absolutely. We got two good friends that actually run ghost tours in Charleston.
Okay.
And we got a chance when we go down there to hit both of them. And yeah, it's amazing. I told my dad, there's only three places in the United States that I've ever been that have that kind of energy, and that's Charleston, Savannah, and New Orleans. I've never been to any other places that have that. It's just a weird kind of energy vibe there.
I actually have a story from New Orleans that I completely forgot about. When you just said New Orleans, it clicked it into memory. I would say probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we went on a family trip to New Orleans and we were doing a ghost tour. And I can't remember what building it was. It was one of the most haunted buildings in New Orleans. It has pillars on the front. And you're not supposed to touch the building whatsoever. You're not supposed to look in any of the windows, anything. Well, being the 13, 14-year-old kid that I was, I was curious. So I touched one of the pillars and I got a vision of a huge fire. And it was about 10, 15 minutes later that she started talking about the history of the building. And she said something about there was a really big fire that devastated the building and they had to rebuild it.
Which isn't surprising for New Orleans. There's been all kinds of fires.
No, I mean, they had that. They had the, what was it? The Yellow Fever.
Yellow Fever, yeah.
The Black Death.
Yeah, they had, there's a lot of tragedy in New Orleans.
And they had, they had bodies piling up on the doorposts or on the like porches and everything. It's gone downhill a lot though. I've heard in the recently.
We went in 2019, I think it was 18 or 19. Okay. So it's been a few years back, but man, I loved it there. I want to go back. It was burning up hot. It was August when we went. I mean, it was miserable hot. So I want to go back again when it's maybe Mardi Gras or something like that. But not as bad.
You're in the bayou there. It gets pretty toasty there.
Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on to share some stories with us.
Yes, sir. I did want to let you know I'm going to Tipton Haynes in Johnson City in about 3 months for a ghost tour.
Oh, nice.
So well, I'm sure you've heard of Tipton Haynes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Tennessee is loaded with places. I mean, you got the South Pittsburgh Hospital. We spent a weekend for up at Hell's Dam Marina and on one of the floating cabins and got to explore all that stuff. And then, of course, we went to all the places in Chattanooga.
Yep.
And, of course, I can't tell you how many times we've been to Gatlinburg and Nashville and Pigeon Forge and those three places and all the haunted stuff. So, yeah, it's the prison is one that I'm still wanting to go to that I haven't made it to. And every time we get down that way, I say I'm going to go, and we just haven't. But, yeah, Tennessee is just loaded with places.
Yeah, I'm excited. It should be fun. I've read all the stories and everything for it. So it seems pretty interesting.
You'll have to check back in with us and let us know how it goes.
Of course. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate it, and have fun.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks for having me on here.
No problem. Yeah, Caleb was a very nice and respectful young man.
He was so nice. And it's so funny. I think he said he'd only been working there a couple weeks, I think he said. And, I mean, he was just really, really good at his job, for sure. And just a very, very nice man. So we would enjoy talking with him.
So if you go to the Cherokee Grill in Gatlinburg, right on the end of the strip there, make sure you go sit in Caleb's section.
Yeah, he'll take good care of you.
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah, because I was unsure about one thing to get, and he kind of broke it down for me.
He pointed you in the very right direction.
Yeah, it was a pork chop that had this glaze on it, and I wasn't sure I was going to like the
glaze.
And
you loved it.
I did. I loved it.
Yes, it was so good.
All right. This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, stop. Okay. I know I've already said it, and I don't know what y'all listen to, and it won't hurt my feelings if you just don't want to listen. I'm just trying to spare your ears. And if you do listen, God bless you.
Yes.
Ugh. And anyway, I know he's going to end with this horrible sound coming to you in a few minutes. So I just want to go ahead and sign off and say, I hope you guys have a blessed week. And we love you very much. And thank you for all your support.
Yes, absolutely. And if you like this, leave us a review asking for more Tracy Raps. What?
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blessing and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Maybe treat it like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lined in chalk. I really hate to trip, but I got a loc. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be. Like on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light. Been spending most of the nights living in the hipster's paradise. Been spending most of the nights living in the hipster's paradise. Keep spending most of the nights living in the hipster's paradise. Keep spending most of the nights living in the hipster's paradise. Power and the money, money and the power. Minute after minute, hour after hour, everybody's running, but half of them ain't looking. What's going on in the kitchen? But I don't know what's cooking. They say I gotta learn, but nobody's here to teach me. If they can't understand, how can they reach me? I guess they can't, I guess they won't, I guess they front. That's why I know my life is out of luck, fool. Blind to see that the one
You wanted the best, and you got the best. The hottest MC in the town, Trace E.
Woke up quick at about noon. Just thought I had to be in Compton soon. I got to get drunk before the night begins, before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young players at the pad throwing up gang signs. Ran in the house and grabbed my clip with the MAC-10 on the side of my hip. Bailed outside and pointed my weapon just as I thought the fills kept on stepping. Jumped in the floor, hit the juice on my side. I got front and back and side to side. Then I let the album play, bumping new shit, MWA. It was gangsta, gangsta at the top of my list. Then I played my own shit, I went something like this. Cruising down the street in my 64, jacking the bitches and slapping the hoes. Went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there co-shooting some hoop. Car pulls up and who can it be? A fresh El Camino rolling K.I.G. He rolled down his window and started to say, it's all about making that GTA. Wake up late for school and you don't wanna go. You asked your mom please, but she still says no. You missed two classes and no homework. But your teacher preaches class like you're some kind of jerk. You gotta fight for the right to party. Your pop caught you smoking and he said, no way. That hypocrite smokes two packs a day. When living in a home, it's such a drag. Now your mom threw away your best porno mag. You gotta fight for your right to party. you gotta fight. Don't step out of this house. If it's closed, you're gonna weigh ya. I'll kick you out of my home if you don't cut that hair. Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" Oh, mom, you're just jealous. It's the Beastie Boys. You gotta fight for your right to party. You gotta fight for your right to party. Party.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.